Welcome to another episode of We Don't Die. I'm your host, Sandra Champlain, author of the international best-selling book called We Don't Die, A Skeptic's Discovery of Life After Death. And just a reminder that my home base is wedontdie.com, where you can do many things. You can join one of our classes. You can join our free Sunday gathering with medium demonstration. I have two different podcasts. You can find all episodes now, well over 600 hours of afterlife episodes. So you know that I'm committed. We have a great Facebook group and so much more. That's all at wedontdie.com. Our guest today is Douglas Hodgson, who is a dual Canadian-Australian citizen currently residing in Perth, Western Australia. He is a former dean and professor of law, an author of many legal texts and articles on human rights and causation law, as well as the author of several books, including Transcendental Spirituality, Wisdom and Virtue, Spiritual Revelations from Beyond the Veil, and his upcoming book to be published later in 2024 is called Near-Death Experiences and Sacred Scripture, The Parallel Messaging. I'm just meeting him today for the first time, as you are, but I have a sneaky suspicion he's a like-minded and caring soul whose words will educate, comfort, and empower us in the purpose and direction of our lives. Douglas, welcome to We Don't Die Radio.
Thank you so much, Sandra. It's great to be with you, and thank you for having me on your program.
You are most welcome. And we were just discussing before we started that we're on opposite sides of the globe. I'm going on 6 p.m. in the evening and you're just going on 6 a.m. in the morning. So thank you for doing what it takes to be on today. You're a warrior. You are. Tell us a little bit about you. I know I said a couple of sentences in the bio, but that certainly doesn't describe your 40 plus years of work and all that. Tell us about you.
Well, Sandra, I would describe myself as I get older, I become less religious and more spiritual, if that makes any sense. For 35 years, I worked in the higher education sector, and I was very busy. All of my reading entailed my own research in the law, and I had very little time to do a hobby or recreational reading. But when I retired from full-time work at the beginning of 2018, a whole new world opened up to me, and I got to read what I really wanted to read. Backing up a little bit, going back to about 1990 or thereabouts, when I worked at the University of Western Australia, I had occasion to pick up from the general library. I don't know why, but I just plucked this book off the shelf, and it was a book by Dr. Raymond Moody called Life After Life. It was a previous edition, of course, and it was his pioneering work into the so-called phenomenon of the near-death experience. And I read it cover to cover, and I was utterly captivated and fascinated by what I read. But in the intervening 30 years or so, I was drawn back to my own research, and it wasn't until 2018 that I rekindled my interest in the near-death experience. And one of the first books I read was a book by Dr. Eben Alexander, A Proof of Heaven, A Neurosurgeon's Journey into the Afterlife, in which Dr. Alexander describes his very deep NDE, having been under a coma for some 7 days. And once again, I was utterly taken back by what I read in his account about the world of spirit and about God and the gateway and heaven. So I'm a curious person by nature, and I had to do more reading about the NDE to find out more and more. So I resorted to the website of the International Association for Near-Death Studies, the acronym IANS, and I combed through the archival material. And they contain hundreds upon hundreds of written accounts written by people who have had a near-death experience. And the more accounts that I read, the more I realized that although these people were using slightly different nuances in language, they all were conveying the same messages, the same themes and revelations. And I, being a good university academic, I began to collate them into discrete chapter headings. But even at that point, I wasn't quite sure whether I had enough for a book. But then I started to read certain accounts that the soul consciousness, when it reached the veil, and it was communicating either with the light or the being of light, it was told telepathically, your life mission is not yet complete. You must return to your physical body on Earth and complete your mission. And you must take back and share with humanity, for humanity's benefit, what has been revealed to you in terms of divine knowledge. So at that point, I had a light bulb moment, the penny drop, so to speak. And I said, right, I'm going to write this book, which I did. And I've tried my best, Sandra, to be an articulate, empathetic mouthpiece for over 500 people who have had this near-death experience and want to share their story with humanity.
Incredible. So that was the entryway in. Now, did you have any faith before that, belief in the afterlife? Was there always a knowing that there's something more?
I've always had faith. I've always had a very close relationship with God or the source. When I was younger, I was religious. I attended church. But as I become older, I believe that it's not necessary to have an intermediary between oneself and God, that there can be a direct communication with the divine. And what I read in the accounts, the over 500 accounts that I relied on, confirmed to me what I've read in sacred scripture. And you did refer to my previous book, Transcendental Spirituality. That involved the study of some 12 of the world's mainstream religions. I identified in that book what I consider to be 36 divine virtues that, if we live them in our daily life, we will be uplifted and elevated. We will become better souls. And what I read in the NDE accounts very much was consistent with what I've read in the sacred scriptures, and hence my third book, The Near-Death Experience and Sacred Scriptures, The Parallel Messaging. So it was a validation or confirmation process for me, Sandra. I've always had deep intuitive knowledge of the divine, but this was confirmed by what I read in the NDE accounts. So yes, I am a believer in God. I've never had an out-of-body or near-death experience, but I've had other paranormal things that have happened to me that almost takes me out of the realm of faith or belief into a certainty of knowing.
What kind of things?
It's rather personal, but I have contact with the angelic realm and the angels on a regular basis.
Fantastic. Yeah, we won't get into personal things. Religion. I know that people have attacked me for writing a book about life after death, thinking that I'm doing the devil's work, right? There's some hardcore religious people that I don't think we should even try to change people's beliefs. Either you're ready to look and be on that spiritual journey or you're not. So I always recommend people don't push on people. But there are people that are coming from religion and they have that fear that either they're doing something wrong, that there's something against believing in the afterlife or talking to our deceased loved ones because of their religion. It is my feeling, and I want to ask you about this, that most religions do believe in something after this world. And there's accounts, I think, in the Bible that speak of near-death experiences. So whatever we focus on grows. So if we're looking for evidence that something's not real, that's going to grow. But if we're looking for evidence that there's plenty of accounts for this in different scriptures, there is. Do you want to speak a little bit about that? Because you've studied so many different religions.
Well, NDE phenomena date back to antiquity, according to Dr. Raymond Moody. I read a number of accounts in my research where agnostics, people who are still searching for the truth, and avowed atheists, they have had a near-death experience. And when they have returned to their body, they say, well, prior to this experience, I just didn't believe in God or an afterlife. But now I know I have certain proof of the afterlife. That's really one of the best testimonies to there being life after death. We all have free will, Sandra. God has given us the gift or privilege of free will. We can choose to believe or not to believe. And I'm minded of something that the Virgin Mary said to the three children of Fatima in Portugal in 1917. The Virgin Mary said to them that there are still people or souls who would choose not to believe, even if they were standing before God. So we can choose to believe or not to believe. That is totally up to us. And we shouldn't try to change other people. We shouldn't try to convert them. It's up to them to make their own decisions. But having said that, whatever they choose, whatever path they choose, they will be held accountable for their decisions at a soul level. And if they choose not to believe and not to embrace positive energy or divine virtues in their lives, then it's going to be harder for them to learn their lessons in the earthly realm. We are all sent here to Earth to learn certain lessons and to find out who and what we truly are at the deepest foundational level. And if we embrace too much negative energy, if we choose not to believe, then it's going to be much harder for us to progress our souls, to elevate our awareness and consciousness. So we can only provide testimonies. We can't coerce people who choose not to believe. God honors and respects all the choices we make. But as I said, ultimately, we will be held accountable for those at the soul level.
Thank you for that. That reminds me of the life review. I caught myself saying not too long ago that we each have, it might be a different version of some sort of a life review when we get over there, and that we can have the opportunity of seeing our impacts on others from others' perspectives. And I just heard myself saying, have your life review now, right? While we're here on Earth, look back, see what you maybe could have done differently. Maybe there's an apology needed to yourself or to someone else. Take that moral inventory. So it just seems like the more we can accomplish here in all realms, the more bang for the buck we get as being human. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more, Sandra. That's an excellent point. And actually, I included that in my book. I said, why not have a proactive or preemptive life review? Start preparing now for what's coming ahead. But again, we shouldn't fear the prospect of a life review, because my understanding of the NDE accounts is that we are not judged on a reward-punishment basis. It's not condemnatory. When we go through the life review, we assess ourselves and our own conduct, what we did and what we didn't do. As we are, as one NDEer said, our harshest critic. So we are assisted in that process by a being of light who is assigned by God or the light to help us, to reflect on those occasions when we could have manifested more love and kindness to others, also to replay those points in our life where we did manifest love and kindness to others, and also to see the ripple effects. So we don't only see the people who benefited from our loving kindness, but in turn, the love and kindness they showed to others because of the love we manifested to them. And conversely, if we were unkind or cruel to others, we also see and feel on an empathetic basis not only the negative emotions of our victims, but we then see those unkind acts and behavior that they in turn manifested to others because of the unkindness we demonstrated to them. So as one interviewer said, it's a bit like dropping a pebble into the middle of the still pond, and it creates ripples, and those ripples spread out to eternity. So one main message of the life review, according to the Being of Light, is never underestimate the impact, not only of our acts or our words or our inaction, even our thoughts, never underestimate the impact that those all have on others. So we must be very careful when we exercise our gift of free will to make sure that we're acting positively, drawing upon positive energy, and making sure we don't harm or hurt other sentient beings.
You mention thoughts. Coming from someone who's been studying this afterlife stuff for over 26 years, and I've interviewed a bunch of people, and I know and believe in the power of our thoughts and gratitude and all these wonderful things. However, myself and many other people still wake up in the morning. It's easy to forget, and it's easy to buy into the mind and the thoughts of fear and doubt and things. Do you think we can get a hold of this mind? If you could speak a little bit about that, because as human, this is tough. It's very, very tough. And so it sounds good to put good thoughts out there because thoughts precede actions and all that wonderful things, but it's hard to do. Can we grab a hold of our minds and our thoughts and consciously put thoughts in?
Undoubtedly, it is very hard to control the mind. And Eastern religions such as Buddhism, that's one of the main planks of Buddhism, to control the mind and not let it deviate from, you know, the truth or the Dharma. In my first book, Transcendental Spirituality, I postulated that if we are to become better souls, kinder, more loving, and compassionate, we must cleanse the upstream waters. We must go to the source. Because if we don't cleanse the mind, the upstream waters, then our deeds, our words will be tainted. They will not be pure. So it is absolutely essential to control the mind. And self-control or self-restraint is, to my mind, one of the greatest virtues. So our mind naturally goes every which way. It can be thinking of 3, 4, 5, 6 things simultaneously. And the Eastern religions, and to a certain extent some of the NDE accounts I read, said that we must focus on the here and now. Focus on the present, preciousness of the present moment. Be aware of what you're doing now. Don't worry about the past, because the past is past. It's already happened. You cannot undo it. The future, to a certain extent, we can control our future, but it is largely beyond our control. We don't know what lies around the next corner. But we can control the present. So be aware of what you are doing in the present moment, who you are with, the task you are undertaking at the present moment, and what feelings you have at the present moment. Because if you control the present moment with your mind, you have complete control over your life. And I'm a great believer in simplifying life. We should all lead a much simpler life and not have so many distractions and attractions and amusements in our life. Our focus should be more, and I suppose I'm a bit of a lone voice here, but focusing on how we can improve our soul, how we can progress our soul, develop it, because we are all on the same pathway to God. But as souls, we are at different levels of consciousness or awareness. But we're all moving eventually towards communion or absorption into the light. So that is why we are here on earth. Of course, we are here to enjoy life to the full with our loved ones, with our friends, to have journeys or adventures in our life. But we're also here to learn and to elevate our soul and consciousness. So that takes a lot of control and self-discipline of the mind. And in some cases, that means simplifying your life and having some me time, a regular time, either in the morning or in the evening, when you have that 5 or 10 minutes completely by yourself, to go into deep meditation and to find out who you truly are and what you truly are deep within. Because as the Holy Scriptures say, not just in Christianity, but in different religions, the kingdom of God is within you.
Amen to that. Any tips on the old meditation? Because we can't go looking for it, because that keeps the mind active. Paying attention to your breath, slowing down, being out in nature, probably all good things.
Well, meditation, I've been meditating, Sandra, for about 4 or 5 years. And I must confess to you and your listeners, I'm not very good at it. But I've read a lot of books and materials on meditation, and there are many different techniques that you can use. But I tend to simplify it. In a dark room, I meditate in the evening, and your back must be straight. I lean my back against a wall, and you just shut down. You block out all thoughts, and you focus on a single thought. I tend to close my eyes, but some people recommend leaving them open. And you can recite a mantra. Many people recite a mantra. Or you can visualize a religious figure. Or you can say to yourself, I am now one with the divine, or with God, or Om. And slowly, your one-pointedness on this religious figure or on the mantra will dissipate into nothingness. And at that point, you are with God. You are being infused with divine knowledge.
Good explanation. Yeah. And just like working out in the gym, you can't just expect to be big muscled, you know, one sitting. This is a labor of love. It truly is. Nothing happens overnight, but longer and longer. Yeah, longer and longer. You'll find those gaps between thoughts. And some days it's great, and some days the mind is active, and just to be kind and gentle wherever you're at. You mentioned God. I want to get back to near-death experiences if we can. Different people from different cultures have different representations of this light, the God. Do you think crossing over, we have, I think I know your answer to this, but a kind and loving universe that's going to show us things in our near-death experience and our death experience that we're comfortable with. So if I really believe in Jesus, might I see Jesus, et cetera?
Well, as I said, Sandra, I use the IANS website, and most of the written accounts in their archives, I suspect, were written by Westerners, Americans, Canadians, Australians, English people. I did read a number which I probably could ascribe to Asia. I did read accounts where the authors claimed that they met a Jesus-like figure. And in one case, I read an account that they encountered a sitting Buddha-like figure behind the veil. But I have to declare to you and your listeners that I was approaching my second book from a spiritual rather than a religious perspective, and I decided not to include any accounts in which there were references to religious figures. But I did pick up a number of accounts where they did claim that they met a religious figure. But the vast majority of the accounts state that they encountered a being of light, or the light, or God, or they encountered their spirit guide or their guardian angel. And it's quite remarkable, because they said that with the light, there was no such thing as a question without an accompanying answer. So whatever the soul consciousness was curious about, they asked the light. And before the thought question was even formulated, the light had answered instantaneously, clearly and completely. And it's interesting because in the world of spirit, communication is not by words. Apparently, according to the NDEers, it's quasi-telepathic. So it's not only an exchange of thoughts or ideas, it's an exchange of concepts, of memories, of feelings and emotions, and concepts that it would take us much longer on earth to comprehend are instantaneously comprehensible in the world of spirit. Our mind in the world of spirit is much sharper, experiences more quickly, experiences feelings and emotions much more deeply and on a richer basis, and has that elevated awareness and consciousness. So in the world of spirit, when we have our life review and when we are standing before the light or a being of light, we have so much to look forward to, because anything that we weren't sure about on earth will be answered instantaneously, lovingly, kindly, compassionately by the light.
That sounds so cool. And I love that you say light. I have heard people say, if you can imagine, all the religions in the world are like different lamps, and we have tons of different lamps, but there's only one light. So no matter what the representation or what religion, there is that light. Now, you talk about emotions. I've heard from near-death experiences that there is an overwhelming feeling of love, love that they can't even put into words. In fact, they experience things that they cannot even put into words. Do you want to talk a little bit about that feeling of love?
Okay, Sandra, there are two main impediments that frustrate NDEers in describing their experience. Number one is that they say that human language is just too impoverished, too imperfect to do justice to what they experienced in terms of their NDE. One NDEer said it's a bit like trying to depict a magnificent sunset by drawing it in sand on a beach with a stick. It just cannot be done.
That's funny. And yeah. I get it.
Yeah. The other main impediment is that they are trying to describe their experience from their own earthly, worldly experience. But what they experienced was part of a far greater reality. And whatever they experienced in the world of spirit, there are no counterparts on earth. So as one NDEer said, when we dream at night and wake up in the morning, we say to ourselves, that dream was very nice, but I know it's not real. Our earthly reality, our waking consciousness, is real. But when they've had their NDE and come back from the veil, they then say, well, having had that experience, my earthly life is a dream or an illusion, what the Hindus refer to as Maya, and the ultimate reality, the far greater reality that they experienced, is in heaven, is our true home, the heavenly realms. So, of course, their main message is to talk about profound love and compassion. And that is what religions are all about. As one NDE said, all religions are vain attempts to articulate the so-called golden rule and its importance and centrality. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That is the main message of love. And that's what most religions are about. So they said, religion, in a sense, vain attempt, what the main message is the so-called golden rule. So what is love? On earth, we have all sorts of different definitions of love. But unconditional love is what the NDEers are talking about, the most profound, purest form of love. The love that does not attach conditions to its flow. A love for all that is. Not just a love for other human beings, but for all sentient beings, including pets, the animal kingdom. A love of nature and all that nature has to offer us. It's a love that does not differentiate or distinguish in any circumstances. And that's the type of love that NDEers bring back with them. And they say that on earth, that is one of our main tasks, is to realize how much God loves us. And for us to understand what is unconditional love and to practice it in our daily lives, to manifest it to our family, to our friends, but perhaps most importantly, to people we don't know. And as a number of NDEers said, it's the small kindnesses which turn out to be the most profound manifestations of love. One example was the being of light, when conducting a life review of a certain soul, said, "You've probably forgotten about this incident, but on one occasion you took in a stray cat and gave it a saucer of milk and fed it back to health again." And the being of light said, "That is one of the most profound manifestations of love that you did during your lifetime." So the message from the being of light is never underestimate the effect of small kindnesses on others. Because as I said earlier, that small kindness that we gave to another person, they in turn might, by example, pass that love and kindness on to others. And it's the ripple or chain effect. And that's one of our main lessons that we're here to learn.
I'm smiling right now because just before you and I connected today, out in my backyard, we had six deer, beautiful animals. And I'm here with my mom, which is lovely. And we were looking at them in the present moment, filled with love, that magic of nature. I couldn't be thinking about anything other than being present and that feeling of love. And then I'm thinking, whether it's our pets or the deer or something cuddly, we've got that feeling of love. And meanwhile, we have people that we might have attached all different meanings as to who they are and what they're like and all that. But we're all the same. We are all these magnificent beings. And to be able to have that filter of love, as no matter who it is, to show kindness, as we do for the animal kingdom, that unconditional love. And people, you know, it's hard being human. Everybody's going through their stuff. We don't know what life's been like for another person. We haven't lived in their shoes. But we can do that. We can be present. We can be kind. And we can give them that love.
Sandra, if I can share with you another important NDE message that the thought was triggered as you were speaking. Life is difficult. There's no doubt about that. And all of us have problems, challenges, trials, and tribulations. But that is all for a higher purpose. That is a universal law. When we are sent to this earthly realm, we can expect to have problems and challenges. It's part of our growth experience. It's the way we approach those problems that is the chief determinant as to whether we progress or evolve our souls. So as one of the NDEers reported, being told by a being of light, when you have those problems and challenges, do not fear them. Do not be upset by them. That's easier said than done, of course, but that's the message. Do not fear them. Try to embrace them positively, because these are opportunities for you to discern the particular lessons you were sent to this realm to learn during your lifetime or incarnation. So, is this problem or challenge that I'm currently facing telling me that I have to learn to be more loving or more forgiving or more patient or to be gentler or to be a better listener, to talk less and listen more? So, everything, and this is stressed so many times by the NDEers, everything happens for a higher purpose. There are no coincidences in the universe. As one angel said, beauty comes of all things. So when those problems and challenges arise in our lives, they're there for a purpose. Even though at the time, we don't know why we are experiencing them, but we will know in the fullness of time, and we will realize that it was for our own benefit and growth.
And not only that, what we learn, we can make a difference with someone else. Sometimes we meet a person that's, we're the only ones in our journey being able to share that. And they say, that's just what I needed to hear. So you don't have to go on to write a book or have a podcast or anything like that. Just be kind and know that your journey means something. I want to get into a glimpse of heaven. People that have had near-death experiences, a lot of them are called right back. It's not your time. There are some folks that seem to spend a little bit more time and have seen a view of heaven, have seen colors that we can't even imagine here. They've met up with relatives and pets and maybe got to go a little bit further than others in the near-death experiences. Have you read, or do you include some of those kind of stories where people meet up with their loved ones or their pets or see a landscape of the hereafter?
Yes. One of my chapters in my book, Spiritual Revelations from Beyond the Veil, is on heaven. And I have another chapter on God. And in my latest book, which is coming out in August, I do compare the NDE descriptions of heaven with the descriptions of heaven that can be found in sacred scripture. And again, there are significant parallels. But the NDEers describe heaven like this. They arrive at the veil. That is a barrier. It could take the form of an archway or a door or a gate or a body of water, such as a stream or a pond or a lake. And they are told by the being of light that they cannot cross over, that they must return to their earthly body. Because if they do go through the door or cross over the veil or the barrier, they cannot return to their earthly body. So they are on the threshold or horizon of heaven. And presumably their soul consciousness sees beyond. And this is the way they describe heaven. They describe it in a number of different ways. They say you can describe heaven from a spiritual frame of reference, that negative energy is not permitted to enter heaven, that anger, aggression, hatred, greed, violence or harm, finding fault with others. These negative energies cannot enter the higher heavenly realms. Only the positive energy of profound and unconditional love, acceptance, peace, joy, gratitude, praise of God or the source. So that is one way of describing heaven from a spiritual point of view. Another way of describing heaven is from an emotional point of view. And many of the NDEers described being close or near heaven as euphoria, bliss, utter happiness, love and contentment, peace. And they were so comfortable being in that state that when they were told by the being of light that they had to return to their body and they had no choice, they protested. And it didn't work. Before they knew it, they were being pulled almost magnetically through the ether, and they found themselves back in their body. So heaven can be described as an emotional or a feeling experience. And lastly, heaven can be described from the perspective of our sensory perception, particularly what we can see and hear with our soul or our consciousness. And in terms of hearing, many people, including I think Dr. Eben Alexander, described hearing anthem-like music, unearthly music, played with instruments that the NDEers could find no counterpart with on Earth. But it was like no other music they've ever heard. All singing praises to God. Even the flowers were singing their praises to God. The flowers in heaven have consciousness. You mentioned multicolors. Yes, heaven is all about color and its infusion. But what is so remarkable about the NDE descriptions is that colors exist in heaven which have no earthly counterpart. Other NDEers described seeing bodies of water, crystal clear blue water, still water, and gliding over the surface of the water were swans. There were trees near the embankment. And a number of NDEers said that there is no sun in heaven. Why not? Because the light of God provides all the light that heaven requires. So there is no night in heaven. It's all the time there is light in heaven. There are blue sky, no clouds, just blue sky. There are rolling, gently rolling, verdant green hills and grasses. And a number of NDEers, as you mentioned, said that they found themselves running through this grass with their childhood pets, with their dogs. Isn't that wonderful that eventually we will meet our beloved pets once again? They are there waiting for us. Other NDEers describe seeing magnificent structures made of luminescent crystal glass. And what makes this description so profound, so awe-inspiring is that I found similar descriptions in sacred scripture. If you look at the Book of Enoch in Judeo-Christian apocalyptic literature, it describes magnificent crystal-like buildings with four walls, but there's no ceiling. The ceiling, it reaches to eternity. And magnificent temples that presumably contained the famous Akashic records, the written records of everything that each soul has ever thought, said, done, or not done during their lifetimes. So that's sort of a heaven described in a microcosm nutshell, if you will.
A little tour guide to heaven. Douglas, there's so many of our listeners and viewers that are experiencing grief right now. And I think that's one thing that makes people want to research near-death experiences and hear stories of the afterlife and such. They're going through a tough time. Grief is brutal. And I know you talk about self-love. There are parents I know that are listening or watching that can feel that they should have or could have done something different to prevent their child's passing. Or just as humans, you know, I know with myself, right before my grandmother died, I didn't know she was going to die, but I thought to call her. And then I thought, oh, I'll do it tomorrow. Well, tomorrow never came because she passed. And I lived with that guilt for so long. Can you talk a little bit about grief and self-love and why that's important? Because I know it's easy to love other people, but to look in the mirror and love myself, even though, you know, we all should, it's very difficult.
That's a very important point that you raise, Sandra. Forgiveness is one of the most difficult things for humans to engage in, particularly depending on the circumstances. But having said that, I think it's easier to forgive others than it is to forgive ourselves. We are the last people that we tend to forgive. We have to love ourselves, not in a narcissistic way, of course, which many do now in contemporary secular culture. We have to love ourselves in a gentle, compassionate way. As many NDEers said in the context of the life review, there is nothing that you can do that is wrong. And Dr. Alexander, in his book Proof of Heaven, that was revealed to him as well. Well, what does that mean? It's nothing that we can do that is wrong. It simply means that life is a learning process. And if we make mistakes, then we have to learn from those mistakes, but not beat ourselves up over it, to move on. And a lack of forgiveness, a guilt, beating yourself up about what happened in the past, that is all negative energy. And that will prevent the light and love and energy of God from entering your soul and helping you to realign yourself with your earthly mission and to manifest unconditional love and to embrace the positive energy. So it is good. It is good to take a stock take and to say, well, yeah, I was wrong. And I acknowledge that. I'm accountable for it. I will say sorry to that person for it and ask for their forgiveness. But once we do that, we are cleansed, we are purified, and we move on, and we stop thinking about that. And God understands. God understands, and He wants us to love ourselves, because if we don't love ourselves, it'll be much more difficult for us to love others.
Yes, I know this is all true. I do. Where do we want to go from here, Douglas? I know our time goes by very quickly. If you'd look into that wonderful soul of yours, you've written these amazing books and you're speaking of these things. What else would you like to talk about that I haven't asked you yet?
Well, there are so many little points that I put in my book that I really haven't had time to talk to podcasters about, but a couple I'd like to share with you.
Please.
Listeners might be interested. Just before we are involved in catastrophic car accidents, or we're unfortunate enough to be involved in an air disaster, some NDEers have said that prior to the point of impact, our souls peel away from our physical bodies and are cocooned in God's love. I found that remarkable. Because I've always believed that. I've never read it anywhere. No one ever told me that. But intuitively, I felt that I knew that. And where did that knowledge come from? I think it came from when my soul was in the world of spirit. And now that I'm on earth, I've still retained that. It hasn't been deleted. Another fascinating point I'd like to share with you is that in heaven, or the heavenly realms, our souls appear in humanoid form. Spirits are in humanoid form, and we appear at our best moments. So if we lived into our 90s and died frail and sickly, in the heavenly realms, we look like we did when we were in our 20s or 30s, in our best moments. And conversely, if we happen to die as a young child, in the heavenly realms, we continue to mature until we reach adulthood in our 20s. And that's how we are perceived in humanoid form in the heavenly realms. And Sandra, I've actually had dreams at night in which I have met deceased relatives, and they have come for me from heaven. And again, they appear as they did in their 20s and 30s. So I'd like to share that with your listeners. Now, on a wider level, on a deeper level, the most important points that I can share with you and your viewers is do not fear. Do not fear life on earth. Do not fear change in your lives. Embrace change, because if you accept change, the universe will bring very positive things into your life. And do not fear death. Do not fear departure from the earthly realm. Our souls are eternal and infinite. As one NDEer said, when our physical body dies, our soul consciousness moves on. It's a bit like moving from one room to another. Your energy, who and what you are at the deepest level, does not change. Simply your perspective or your cosmic awareness changes. So fear of whatever form is a very negative energy that holds us back. And attachment also holds us back. So if we are too attached to our careers, if we are too attached to becoming millionaires or billionaires, if we are too attached to other people or possessions, we will not learn as souls. What is important in heaven and in the world of spirit is not what we consider important here. What is important here is regarded in the spiritual realms as irrelevant, insignificant, and superficial. Again, it's the small kindnesses which are the profound manifestations of love. And if we live by the golden rule, and if we try to daily manifest unconditional love to others, that is what God expects us to learn from this experience, and we will progress our souls.
I believe miracles take place in that space as well. I've practiced gratitude. I've practiced love, you know, looking for the good in a day. And it just seems like more things show up. It's like, is this happening? Is this a universal law? I think it is.
It is, definitely. A number of NDEers said that joy and gratitude are two of the highest vibrational energies. And we have to remain positive. As one being of light said, we have to stop finding fault with others. Look for the goodness in other people. That is very important. Look for the goodness in other people. And if we're constantly beating ourselves up and finding fault with ourselves, we cannot see the goodness in others. But once we start seeing the goodness in others, our whole mindset changes to one of positivity. And as you say, the law of attraction will bring those lovely things into our lives which we have wanted and needed.
It's fun to play with. It really is. That mind tries to kick in saying, this isn't real. Let's focus on what we don't have. Let's focus on the negative. But when we take on a practice like that, good things happen. I want to just ask one more thing. I read in your book, God is the center and we are all spokes of the universal wheel. Can you talk about that interconnectedness that we all share and that we're all a part of, even though we might feel separate and alone?
Well, the NDEers say that we are never alone. As I said earlier, God, the kingdom of God is within us. We each have a divine spark of God within us. And religion recognizes that as well. They call it the immanence of God dwelling within us. But one NDEer described God as love. But what was unique about the description is love, the acronym love. So L stands for love. The O stands for oneness. The V stands for vibrations. The E stands for energy. And NDEers say that we are all interconnected. We are all one. So if we harm others, we are harming ourselves. How are we interconnected? You and I are separate. We're on opposite ends of the earth, Sandra. But at the basic level of existence, if you look at particle theory, if you look at science, everyone and everything is connected at the deepest subatomic level. And what is connecting us? Energy. What is energy? God is energy. God is essence, light, vibrations, and energy. God, the oneness of God, runs through and connects and animates all things. And that is a definition of enlightenment. If you look at Hinduism from India, for example, enlightenment or self-realization is when you suppress your ego or the I or me. And this is what happens when you leave your body. You leave your earthly identity, your physical body behind. You enter the world of spirit and you become one with the universe. As one NDEer said, when I entered the world of spirit, I left me behind. I was everything and everything was me. And although we cannot sense interconnectedness or oneness in our earthly bodies, when we rejoin the world of spirit, we are in a much better position to recognize that interconnectedness or oneness. It is real. It is real. And although that we cannot perceive that in the earthly realm, we are all interconnected. We are all one. And the sooner that humanity realizes that and acts on it, the better off that we will be.
May I ask you one more question?
Sure.
There's some pretty tough stuff going on in this world with wars and just brutality. Do you believe in the power of prayer and sending good thoughts to maybe evil people and to people that are being harmed? And what can we do?
The mind and prayer are both powerful. And we can manifest loving thoughts, thoughts of loving kindness towards others. And even the most evil tyrants in the world have good in them, even though we tend to block that out. Every soul, according to the NDEers, has positive energy and negative energy within the soul. That's why we have to keep reincarnating in order to purify and refine the soul and move upwards towards ultimate union with God. But the power of prayer is tangible. And of course, we should pray. Of course, we should pray for outcomes that we deem desirable in the world. But even more important than prayer is action. How are we going to act? We may feel so insignificant that how can we possibly help? But never underestimate your ability to take small actions, which might in turn trigger other actions, and a whole movement or revolution begins to counter those evil forces and influences in the world. So as the late Alexei Navalny said, if we do nothing in the face of evil, then evil will triumph. Well, I think most of us don't want that to happen. So we must pray, and we must also act, and we must also send loving thoughts towards those people who may be perceived as trying to harm us. We must manifest love.
And never underestimate the power of the ripple effect, because even just those moments of kindness, where that can go and what another person can do is so powerful. And it all starts right in our own backyard. Well, it has been my pleasure to interview you today. How can people find out more about you and the books?
Well, Sandra, your readers, if they're interested, they can purchase my book, Spiritual Revelations from Beyond the Veil, on Amazon or on most online retailers, from Kindle, from my publisher, O-Books, www.obooks.com, and also it's available in bricks and mortar bookshops. But I have to say that my book is not for the many, it's for the few. I think only certain types of people will be able to understand and relate to what I've said.
Wow. I totally get it. But I think in this family of listeners and viewers, you're speaking to the right crowd. Thank you on behalf of all of us for all the work that you've done, following your passion, not giving up, and now being in a place to continue learning and sharing.
Thank you so much, Sandra. It's been absolutely delightful sharing with you. Thank you.
Ditto. And to our listener or our viewer, thank you for being here today. In the description of this episode are Douglas's books and links that you can click on to go check them out. We have Transcendental Spirituality, Wisdom, and Virtue, Spiritual Revelations from Beyond the Veil, and we'll let you know when that next book comes out in August. As a reminder, my home base is wedontdie.com. If you scroll to the bottom of the page and enter your name and your email address on my mailing list, it says you get the first few chapters of my book, We Don't Die. The secret is, it is the entire book. Chapter 10 is about grief, how to survive grief, and I think it's the most important chapter. The rest is good too, but please take that gift. Also, please be sure to come visit us on one of our Sunday gatherings. It's an inspirational, empowering service, non-denominational, and there's a medium demonstration included. So it's a beautiful opportunity to see just how close our loved ones really are. For parents that may be with us that have a child in the unseen world, helpingparentsheal.org, I completely recommend. There's over 16,000 parents involved, shining light parents, they're called, and they have some really wonderful resources. Even if you're not a parent, you can find their YouTube channel, and they have interviewed some super great people. And so I think everybody can find some help and empowerment with them. So in closing, my name is Sandra Champlain. I'm always so happy to be your host on We Don't Die Radio. I do believe that life is an education for the soul and that your life here on earth is very important. So this episode deserves listening to again. There's so many great bits, but take a moment right now and just love yourself, love your journey, everything that you've been through. You are one of a kind. You are special. And most of all, you are loved. See you again soon.